Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for our season review Bears podcast with actor, comedian Mike Busteri. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's constantly raining where I am right now, though. I don't know if you saw the national championship game last night. Did you see the rain coming in the sides of SoFi? Yeah. It was crazy.
They should have had it in Chicago. It was much nicer.
And they should have, yeah.
It was sunny here today. Sunny, 40s. Whew, felt like it was summer. Great.
Yes. But doing well.
So as always, you can find the newsletter and the podcast and the shop and all the other good stuff at pointlessexercise.com. And Mike, how can people keep up with what you are up to?
People can find me on Twitter at Mike Pusateri. And also, there is a television show newly released on Amazon Freevee, which is Amazon's ad-supported free service, hence the free V, called Nova Vita. Just came out, just released on that platform on January 1st, and you could see your friend here from the podcast world in that show. So give it a shot. Nova Vita on Amazon Free V.
So the way I found it was I just went to Amazon Prime and I searched for Nova Vita. There was a thing I clicked on it and it took me there. I didn't have to I didn't have to download anything. I didn't have to do anything. I just, all of a sudden, there you were in glorious HD.
It couldn't make it easy. That's exactly right. Go to your Prime Video app. Do what Andy said. Search for it.
Nova Vita, of course, is Spanish for new life. Did you know that? Did they go over that? Did you have to learn Spanish?
They do.
Did you have to learn Spanish for the role?
I did not. The movie is in English. But yes, Nova Vita does mean new life, correct?
So you play a guy named Murray.
Yes.
Murray is the... You're not a limo driver. You're just a driver, right?
I'm a limo driver. All right. I'm the driver security.
First episode, we get to see you in action. My one question: did you do your own stunts?
I did drive that car. Yes, I did my own.
Very
stunts.
Nice. Put that on your resume too. That you do your own stunts.
Right. You'll see a lot of high speed driving. Pulling up slowly to an airplane.
You didn't do the stunt at the very beginning of the episode, though. I don't think.
Did not do that one.
No, not that one. Hopefully, no one was in that car because
that's a little bit beyond anybody's pay grade.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I caught. I've watched much of the first episode.
There you go. There you go.
Where is Mike? Oh, there he is.
There it is.
So that was fun.
Yes.
Speaking of doing their own stunts. How about the fact that Bears had their end-of-season press conference today and no George, no on-his-way-out Ted?
Yeah.
It was like, hey, we got football guys. It's a football press conference, and we're just going to have the football guys. And what it lended was an odd feeling to watch a Bears press conference. It was just an overwhelming amount of competence.
Compared to what we're used to seeing. Yeah, for sure.
Not a lot of, they didn't send in the clowns. They just sent in the GM and the head coach. They actually answered questions, and then they left.
But yeah, they kept it pretty tight, too, about 30, 35 minutes, I feel like. It was.
No, I was really hoping, though, they'd bring Vag in and have her try to blow out 100 birthday candles.
That might be dangerous at this point.
Dangerous for the sprinkler system and for her.
Right. Danger all around.
It had a little feeling of the old Jed Theo press conferences where the Flus is sitting there and he's not getting a lot of questions. But the reason for that was they talked to him like three times a week.
Yeah.
And they had literally just asked him all the season wrap-up questions on Sunday. So this is really the Ryan Poles press conference with Flus there to basically answer one question: are you going to fire any of your assistants? And he basically said, I'll let you know.
Yeah,
that was his answer. So in other words, yes.
So that's
somebody's
a yes.
Getting canned.
Right. Yes. Well, we all want to know. Now the Bears somehow, what a crazy set of circumstances that they end up with the number one overall pick. Thanks, Lovey. That's what we want to hear from Ryan Poles is what are the plans? What are the plans for the offseason? What are the plans for next year? Who's the quarterback? What are we doing here? Because I think we can all be happy about getting the number one pick, but I think nobody wants to be doing this year after year after year either.
Yeah, if you're going to pick high, you should pick at the top. If your goal is, which their goal was, we're stripping it down, we're going to be bad, this is what you want. You wanted to pick first.
Yeah.
And it was funny, there were two things happened over the weekend. One that directly impacted the Bears, and another that just impacted Bears fans. Sometime during the week, the Texans met with Lovie about his future. And Lovie coached that game with a big middle finger pointed right at the owner's box and did all the non-Lovie stuff. You know,
They
were airing it out. They went for it on fourth down whenever they had a chance. And on that last drive where they had to go for fourth, they converted a 4th and 12 and then the 4th and 20, ridiculous Hail Mary touchdown pass. And they can tie it. But Lovie's like, well, fuck this. They're not paying me for overtime. We're going for two.
Yeah.
Went for two and got it. And
it was like an all-time troll drop. He was fantastic.
The Bears ended up with the number one overall pick as a result. The other thing that happened that made Bear fans happy was the Seahawks. So the NFL moved all the games around, and they had to make a decision. Did they want to play the Seahawks, Rams, and Packers, Lions at the same time, or did they want to put one on before the other? They decided to put one on before the other. And so they did the Seahawks first, which made sense, because had they done Packers-Lions in the late afternoon window and the Packers win, you got Seahawks-Rams playing on national TV for nothing.
Right.
So they switched it around. And as a guy who my only goal was for the Packers to not make the playoffs on Sunday, I was heartened that the Seahawks won, because I knew that the Fighting Dan Campbells were not going to give a lesser effort, that they couldn't make the playoffs. But now they wouldn't have to play with any kind of, oh, we could fuck this up and miss the playoffs.
No
and
pressure.
Man, did they play like a team that was like, fuck it, the entire game.
They sure did.
On the last drive, when they're just trying to run the clock out, they're throwing. How about the fact that Dan Campbell actually understood that on 2nd and 1, the Packers were going to go offsides on purpose.
Brilliant.
Because it was much better for you to immediately get the first down.
That's one of those things that, like, you know, you see that as a football fan, you're like, you know, they should call timeout. You never see the coach do that right. That took such balls to do that.
So they get that, but then they get the first down right away.
But
they use another down, so that's good. Then they are still throwing. They get a nice play, but they get a holding. They got 2nd and 17. You're like, oh, shit, they might still have to give the ball back to the Packers. All they do is run a play where they throw to the wide receiver, who then laterals it to the running back running up the sidelines. And then on 4th down, they had 4th and 1. They could have kicked a field goal, gone up by 7.
Like, yeah.
They threw a 1-yard pass to DJ Chark, and they sent the Packers home.
Yeah.
And then go ahead.
I was going to say, was it at halftime when he was interviewed? And they're like, you know, what's your motive? He was like, our motivation is just to keep them out.
Yeah, I think it was right before the game.
Like
he basically said,
okay, yeah.
We can't
and,
go.
And he meant
so
it.
Neither should they.
He's like, he was like, fuck them. Yeah. I mean, it was like personal. He's like, we ain't going, they ain't going.
Because I do think had the Seahawks lost, and they had to win in overtime against Baker Mayfield and the Rams, the game plays out differently. Because now the Lions, as much as you'd like to think they're just going to play that way, they're not. It's different.
No,
if you can screw up and miss the playoffs.
There's pressure,
But,
for sure.
So, and then we got
quite
to see
a weekend.
An orchestrated walk of Aaron Rodgers and his only friend, Randall Cobb, walking arm in arm off the field. He's so weird.
Yeah.
He's just the strangest.
He is such a weird dude.
And he wouldn't commit to coming back. And he's owed almost $60 million next year. Do we really think he's leaving?
Yeah, he's coming back.
He may be able to force a trade somewhere, but he's playing.
Right.
He's awful.
It was really a fantastic Bears weekend, all in all. And, you know, Lovie's never going to have to buy, you know, a drink in Chicago again. But still, I mean, that 4th and 20, whatever it was, that touchdown, I mean, it went right through the Indianapolis defender's hand.
He just missed
it. I mean, that easily.
He jumped a little too early, and he was coming down, and the ball was going right over his hands.
Yeah, and by the way, he doesn't need to catch it. All he needs to do is knock it down, and the game is over. I mean, so just that happening is like, that's unbelievable.
One thing nobody has mentioned, however, that loss benefited the Colts. They now pick fourth, or they may have picked as low as sixth. You know, they're bad too, and they need a quarterback.
They do.
And them losing that game was, it was embarrassing, I think, to lose to the Texans. But I doubt that Chris Ballard's draft board cared.
Yeah,
that they
good
lost.
Good point. That's true.
We'll get into that. All the different teams that are stacked up towards the top of the draft that need a quarterback. So we got the end of the season press conference. Ryan Poles and the Flus.
The Flus.
A couple of things jumped out to me. One of them was, actually, there was one. I don't know if Ryan misunderstood the question or he just decided I'm just going to answer the one I want. He got asked to rate the free agent class.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? And he rated his own.
I think he misunderstood.
I think he's like, I don't want to fucking talk about that. I'm going to talk about how we got Justin Jones. Oh, and how about the fact that, remember how embarrassing it was that the Bears, Larry Ogunjobi flunked his physical, and I saw one Larry Ogunjobi highlight the entire season, and it was on Sunday when he was running around with, was it Deshaun Watson's face mask in his hand? Which I really didn't mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of felt like it was kind of Ryan like taking the off-ramp from, we don't really need to get into this right now. I'll just talk about my free agent class. All the stars I brought in.
Right.
Like Justin Jones and... they did extend Equanimeous St. Brown, though.
Oh, I saw that. He'll very exciting. Yeah. Also good, you know. Nobody asked him about the Chase Claypool trade, I don't think, in the press conference.
They did. He talked about it.
Oh, did they? I missed that part then.
He talked about how basically it's not... his thing was, he said, when you make a trade in football, you understand that it's not like baseball or basketball. It's not necessarily going to be plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
You get a guy and he has to learn a new system, and then he gets hurt, and then his quarterback gets hurt, and they could never quite get on the right. It was, he said all the right things, other than man, he's a lot worse than we thought he was going to be.
Other than man, did I give up too much?
Because I don't think they actually think that. But I do think that they would have, if you'd have told him he was going to play seven games and amass 140 yards of pass yards, they would have been like, that's bullshit. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah. Well, plus if he would have said, and you're going to have essentially, you know, the last first round pick.
See, that would have been the question to ask was, do you regret now caving in and giving up your number one? Now, I think everybody at the time, it was pretty clear that he would have, Claypool would have been a Packer, not a Bear.
Right.
Maybe he would have...
would have caught 800 yards.
Yeah, Packers probably would have made the playoffs. It was worth it just to keep the Packers out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's a... The Bears get the Ravens pick, which is to be determined, because playoff teams, you don't get your slot figured out until after the playoff shakeout.
Right.
So they do have a second. They just don't have their second. They have a pick in every round, I think, except for the fourth.
I think that's right. They have eight picks. Okay.
They have eight picks, which I would guess are going to end up, he's going to have 11 or 12 probably by the time he's done.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll have to get into that.
Although he could, it's not, I mean, last year he was basically forced to trade down. He couldn't trade up. Ever, in any round, because he didn't have the ammo to do it.
Right,
so he's just accumulating picks. This year he can go both ways.
Huh. Well, he doesn't have to trade up, and at least the first
round. Well, now the first round, he can't trade up in the first round. Oh, he can try.
Yeah, but the other rounds, right.
He calls himself. What do you give me for the number one? I'll give you Chase Claypool for it. Deal.
Ooh, I like what you're saying.
Yeah. So, they get Chase Claypool and the number one. Wait, no, they already have both those things.
Bears have made a trade with the Bears.
You should just turn in some nonsense thing just to make Roger have to read. It's like, what the fuck am I reading?
That'd be great.
one of the questions I got, I thought was an interesting answer, was how many blue chip players do you think he currently have?
Was this when he said? Because I think
one.
I heard.
He named.
Yeah.
One guy.
Okay. And it was Cole.
Cole Kmet.
It was. That's who it was named. Not just. It was not Justin Fields. Well, I was like, that's why I was. My ears were perking up for Justin Fields. I think. Yeah, because he kind of had his little build up too. You know, it was one guy who's really done it all. Like, oh, Justin Cole. Oh, Cole.
Yeah, Cole.
He didn't even say his last name. Cole? Okay. That's our guy?
Yep.
That's it was like who's gonna be the guy on the next championship team? Cole.
Now to fair, he did they must not have been offered follow ups.
Yeah.
Because he would have been all right, so but who else? He just the one. He never had to do that. He just talked about Cole and they moved on to the next question. Just like he never had to clarify the free agent. Question. They just moved on, and then four other people are yelling questions. But I thought that was pretty interesting. It is clear they really like Cole Kmet.
Yeah,
and what's not to like? He led first Bear tight end to lead the Bears in receiving since
Coach.
No,
Emory Moorhead
in the strike season.
I still think it should be Coach. 82. I don't really care. I don't think
82.
It's
weird. It might have been Dick for a real season. Because I'm sure he led them in receiving one year. They never caught any passes.
Any question, Bears trivia question that involves a tight end, the correct answer should always be Coach.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the question is.
He talked about the offensive line, and he mentioned two guys specifically that he was proud of. Tevin Jenkins for his move to guard.
Yeah, okay.
But Tevin may very well, had he not gotten hurt, Tevin might be going to the Pro Bowl.
The flag football Pro Bowl.
And then I enjoyed it. He basically was proud of Braxton Jones for surviving the season. He played every snap at left tackle as a rookie.
That part is impressive as hell. That part's very impressive, no doubt.
And when he got asked about it after the game on Sunday, they asked what he's going to work on, and he said, I'm going to live in the weight room. He realized that he's just not big enough to play left tackle.
He didn't say blocking.
Yeah, I mean, it was partly a function of, you know, he did an acceptable job as a rookie, but they also didn't have anybody. They didn't have anybody else.
No.
I mean, we saw Riley Reiff on the right side a few times, and you didn't want to put him on the left.
You didn't want to put him on the right.
But, you know, there's that whole thing about the biggest improvement a pro athlete typically makes between the first and second year.
Right.
You know what you're in for, and you have a better idea how to get ready for it. And Poles kind of walked us through what happens to a rookie. You know, you have your season, then you immediately go to the Senior Bowl, then you have to get ready for the combine, then the combine is over. The next week, you're in OTAs, and you're just, you know, you're fucking swimming the entire time.
Yeah, right.
And you're playing as grown-ass men. And
And you're all over the country, traveling all, you know, every week in a different city, basically.
17 games when you're used to playing
17 games.
Or 12.
Right.
And he did talk about, I enjoyed this quite a bit. He talks about, one of the things he credited Riley Reiff with was kind of teaching the guys how to play with an edge. And the offensive lineman, how to play with an edge. And he talked about in his introductory press conference way back a little less than a year ago, one of the things that jumped out was the offensive lineman not helping the quarterback up when he got sacked. And he specifically mentioned what a good job they did of that this year. And I thought, well, they certainly had a lot of practice. He got sacked 55 times.
Yeah.
They got a lot of reps.
Got a lot of reps in there.
Got a lot of reps helping the quarterback up. Maybe cut that in half next year.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to, you don't have to pick him up so much.
Yeah. He's like, hey, Flus, we don't need to work on that in practice anymore. Let's leave Justin upright.
You got to ask about David Montgomery.
Yep.
So he'd love to have him back.
Oh.
God, I would love it. We're gonna do everything we can.
Does everything we ask him. Yeah,
he can come back as long as he doesn't want to, you know, get paid like a star running back because he's not.
He did a good job throughout the press conference of saying basically the right things more often than not, and that was a clear case of saying the right thing, but also saying.
I mean, I do think if the Bears will make Montgomery a offer at a number they want him back at, and it'll be up to him to decide if he thinks he can get more somewhere else or if he just wants to stay.
Right. Right.
But they're not breaking the bank for a running back, especially not a slow one. And hopefully next year you won't one big talent you won't need from your running back is the ability to break a tackle 2 yards deep in the backfield on every play.
Yeah. Just every other play would be fine. That would be nice. That'd be an improvement. Yeah.
So he did talk about Justin Fields, and he had nice things to say about Justin. Praised him for the improvement he made during the season and all the explosive plays that he made. And he said, which I'm sure made Hub all tingly, that he needs to work on the passing game. And he did offer up on his own the fact that they clearly, a big part of that is they have to get him better weapons to throw to. It's not just a one-man deal.
Yeah. And better protection, the whole thing.
So then he gets asked about the draft, and basically the question is, how great is it to have pick number one and not have to take a quarterback? And he said, well, I mean, you know, all options are on the table. Mm-hmm. But they'd have to be blown away to take a quarterback number one. Now, you and I have completely opposite takes on him saying this.
Now, what he meant by that, yeah.
Yes. I would have bet $1 billion he would say that, even if I thought he was the biggest Justin Fields fan ever, because you're sitting there with the number one pick in a two quarterback draft, maybe three if you're a big fan of the big dope from Kentucky. You want teams to feel like they have to get to one to pick. If they want one of the two quarterbacks and they know the Texans are taking one of two, they gotta come call the Bears. You got to get to one. You can't go to three, which I don't remember who three is. You can't call up the Cardinals and say, we're just going to trade to three because it'll cost us less, and we're just going to take the one that doesn't go two. So I did not take that as an affront. If he had not talked about, I mean, basically they kept talking about all the things that we're looking forward to just doing in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like, well, maybe we'll just trade a quarterback and kick him to the curb. I didn't take that.
I think he that's certainly one, you know, as you say, I think we disagree a little bit on the interpretation of that. I think he could have said just as easily, like, Justin is our guy. We're committed to Justin. What we're going to do at number one, I don't know. All options are on the table. We may take a quarterback. We may not. We may listen to offers. You know, because they could still draft a quarterback, even if they have every intention of keeping Justin, they could still draft a quarterback and trade him to somebody else.
Yeah, you don't do that though.
Well, but I don't think what he said though, the value of the trade and the return is going to be also driven largely by the teams competing for him. What is Team A going to give me versus what's Team B is going to give me? And so there's not much he can say in a press conference either way that's going to really affect
no,
the value.
No, and
of
that's why okay. If I'm him, I consistently answer basically the way he did, because teams have to call the Bears, not the Cardinals. If you want your quarterback, so, and you think, you know, the Texans are taking one because they are. The other thing is, you'd like, you also, you know, the Texans have the second and the 12th pick. I think the Bears would like to have the second and the 12th pick. And you can basically call the Texans and go, we can either sell off the pick to some other team and you don't get the guy you want, or you can give us 2 and 12 and you can take whoever you want.
Yeah, so. Sure. And I think that's kind of what we think. They should do something like that. But that brings out to a broader question. You and I are in agreement that Justin Fields is the Bears quarterback of the future. There's going to be a lot of pressure, I feel like, on polls. And here to draft Bryce Young.
I don't think there's going to be any pressure on him to draft Bryce Young.
It's already starting. I mean, don't you think?
What nitwits think they're actually going to take a quarterback?
Well, I think
now if it's next, I would give you this. If it was next year's draft with Caleb Williams and those other guys, then I think you'd have a serious conversation, because the quarterbacks next year are better. The quarterbacks this year, you're not going to. I wouldn't take C.J. Stroud, or if they were all the same. If they were all in the draft right now, I would take Fields over all those guys.
Well, again,
and
you
I think
and
the
I
are too.
Yeah, well, you and I are in agreement that Fields is their guy. I'm trying to make a different point. I don't think it's a given that polls won't draft a quarterback that he won't draft.
I think it's Bryce. Absolutely a given. I think I would give I would give you $1 million if the Bears drafted a quarterback.
Okay. All right. Great.
Because you lose all your leverage if once the draft starts. The minute you take that pick, then you're stuck with that guy, and what you can get back for him drops precipitously. Because everybody's like, "Oh, fuck it! You're stuck with the quarterback. You can't actually pick him. You have to." You were right when you said basically the auction is where you get all the. They're going to have him trade. They're not going to have that pick on draft night. They won't get to the draft with the pick.
They should. I agree. The other side of that, though, is you're going to get two. You know, Justin Fields already 2 years of his rookie contract are gone. That's going to reset. Guys like this, when they take over, you know, whenever you take over, you know, a new GM, guys tend to want their guys. And that is a human. I think that's a human nature thing. I think that is something that he will feel now that he has that number one pick. It's interesting because I think if they had the number two pick, which they would have had Indianapolis, you know, tip the football, I don't think we're having this discussion at all. I just think, Andy, that I do think there's going to be some. I don't think it's a given. I just don't think it's a given. I think he might say, look, we can trade Justin.
There's not a quarterback good enough to take.
But the thing with Bryce Young is.
You can't upgrade. No, Bryce Young is 5'9 and 180 pounds.
Isn't he
6'1? Really good, but he's way too fucking small. He's not. You're not going to get rid of Justin Fields to get Bryce Young. And I don't. It's the only place this is going to get kicked around is because the sports radio is going to have 4 months to kill. And they're going to do, whoa. That's not going to be the way it goes. The Bears have too many holes to dick around and try to incrementally improve a quarterback. The other thing yes, I know they're 2 years into Justin Fields. They also have a shitload of money. And if anybody thinks, even if they wanted to, they can't spend all the money in free agency. There's not enough good players to spend all the money on. They've got money for the extension. They're not strapped. Yeah. There was that dope from Over the Cap who was basically making the argument that the Bears should take one of the quarterbacks, number one, because they have this huge roster to fill, and they don't want to end up like the Cardinals with Kyler Murray, where you have this one huge contract and all these holes to fill. But that comparison made no sense at all, because the Cardinals actually did that. They kicked Josh Rosen out for Kyler Murray. The Cardinals have a roster full of veterans that they've been trying to pick up over the years to build this team around. Their cap is all fucked up. Here's the Bears in the perfect spot to have a quarterback that you're ready to give an extension to, and you can fill your holes because you have picks and you have cash to spend. You don't have to force yourself into it. You don't have to take three steps back again to get a quarterback.
Well, here's the thing. You and I are in agreement on that. And the thing that we'll find out, the thing that we will find out definitively, because I have still never really been sold that Poles and Flus believe that Fields is their guy. I'm not sure if they believe that, but we will find that out definitively, because if they trade the pick, which we expect them to do, well, then they're saying loud and clear to the world and to Justin Fields, you are our guy. Our future is tied to yours, clearly.
Yeah. Or if you want to play devil's advocate to that, they could say, even if Fields isn't our guy, we'd rather go into next year with him than with tiny little Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or Will Levis, basically is what they would be saying. We think their whole goal with this pick, even if they thought they needed a quarterback, which they don't, they need more. They stripped this down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, just picking one guy at the top of the draft, I mean, yeah, you could be great. You could pick the Carter from Georgia and have him just throw guys around, which would be fun. But you need a lot more than that. This is your chance. You got this. You basically got a lottery ticket to get several picks out of it, and you have to use it. And it doesn't work if you then keep it and spend it. You have to. I think it's a failure if they sit there undrafted, even if they don't take a quarterback. If they sit there and want to make a pick, they fucked this up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to do that. I don't think it's a done deal.
But I don't know who the pressure is coming from. I don't know who the mythical pressure is of anyone who's not a lunatic saying that.
Well,
they have a 23-year-old quarterback, and they need to have a 21-year-old quarterback instead.
Well, as you say, over the next 4 months, that's all. You know, he's got the number one pick. That's all I'd have been. Well, I didn't say they had to listen to him, but it also goes to the other things we were saying, like guys want to have their own guy. You know, he wants to win a Super Bowl.
You only want to have your own guy if the guy you want is there. And you'd have to be convinced that one of those three is the guy he really wants.
And maybe he will be. Maybe he will be, is all I'm saying. Either way, it'll be a full-throated, I think, defensive Fields and confidence boost for Fields. And yeah, we now believe, you know, he doesn't have to look, he doesn't have to worry about the, you know, if he's worried about it at all anyway, about having the support of the front office.
Well, if he's going to be a quarterback in the NFL, this shit can't bother him. If it Bear fans now, and I'm just wait at some point, unless he turns into a superstar, this is going to happen to him. Right now, anybody who criticizes anything he does gets immediately yelled at. Oh, he's perfect. You can't. And it's like, no, he's not. He's really good. What most Bear fans should look at it as, look at how good he is. And he still has, there are obvious things he can improve. Think of how fucking good he'll be when he fixes those things. But instead they throw, oh my God, you can't. But at some point it will tip, and if he doesn't turn into a superstar, they'll be the ones that are all over him. It's just it's the way sports work, especially in Chicago.
Yeah, well,
why can't we have a rational discussion about a quarterback who is good, but who is he is an erratic passer still?
Yeah, no, which he is. No, I think the answer to that is because those fans that really love Justin Fields are afraid that any criticism is just going to fuel the fire to move on from him.
And I think they're the same ones who anytime they hear a Cub trade rumor, then shit their pants if it doesn't happen. They like get their little hopes up so much, and they don't want to hear, like, we finally have our quarterback, we finally have him, we've waited forever, here he is. Do not tell me anything, any flaw in him. I don't want to hear it. That's the feeling I always get, which is like, oh, come on. We watch the same games. I mean, when you watch him, you objectively watch him, what you see is a guy who can make some incredible throws, and then he can just whiff on some relatively easy ones. And I would rather that be his problem than Mitch, which was miss on the easy ones and have no chance to ever make any of the big throws. You look at it and you're like, this is a guy who, and I like the polls acknowledge it, when the supporting cast around him is better, he will become a more consistent quarterback.
Mm-hmm. His flaws are correctable.
Does a good job when the one time a week they let him talk. They'll kind of walk through some plays about this is what Justin saw, but this is what he needs to see. And you can understand it, given that there are defensive ends roaring off each tackle, not barely being touched. Mm-hmm. But when things he has a far more positive plays than negative plays. I mean, we've seen bad quarterbacks in this town. And we know what it looks like when a guy just doesn't have it. And, you know, he makes some great plays, even in games where he'll struggle. So I guess that's why I don't understand why people are so afraid to criticize him. It's like, look, he's really good, and he's going to be better. You can point out what's wrong with him and not say he sucks, because he doesn't.
I think as Bears fans, it's a very sore point, quarterback.
Yeah,
play.
It is. It's like we
got a good one, or like we've got to put him in a bubble.
Yeah, it's like a guy who's never had a girlfriend and finally gets one, and is convinced she's the most beautiful girl in the world. And if somebody's like, "Well, she's pretty," he's pissed. What do you mean she's pretty? It's like, buddy, calm down. I do think that. I know that's a big part of it. It's we've never had one, and now we've got one, and you can't say anything bad about it. And it's like, no. You know who can't? Bear fans should be able to say bad things about him. It's other fans of other teams. That's who we're supposed to get pissed at. When they say negative things.
We can't talk away about our pledges.
Only we can talk about it. That's exactly the way it is. Bear fans should be able to be critical of him without taking shit from each other. But if a Packer fan does it, we go over and we start beating the shit out of him. That's how it's supposed to work.
Supposed to, but it's not working that way.
No. Okay, so I'm convinced they're not going to have this pick when the draft starts. The Texans, a lot will sort out. Mel Kiper already has Will Levis number one on his big board, which I think is bad news for the Bears if that was actually true. Because everybody would be like, well, apparently you don't have to pick the quarterback at one.
No, you get,
So if you're the, but if you're the Texans and that's the case, and you really like, say, C.J. Stroud, you can just sit there. Unless it's, why isn't, I mean, where are the Falcons? They're not high enough. They're eight. Yeah. I mean, we need Ryan Pace to be in their war room, convincing whoever the real GM is. No, we got to give up a lot of picks and move up. Right. We got to get up there because they're going to take this guy. And it was like, wait, we have him like 12th on our board. Yeah, but he's the one we want.
Yeah. You see what kind of car he drives?
But the most obvious trade partners for the Bears, I think, would be the Texans at 2-12. You get two first rounders. I don't know what you get outside of that, but honestly, that'd be pretty good. The Colts, Chris Ballard in his press conference today basically said, we'll do anything to get a quarterback.
He said, didn't he say heaven and earth? Yeah. He trade head of heaven and earth.
I would be on the phone with Chris.
There's a guy not playing it too close to the vest.
Yeah. Say, all right, well, we'd like your fourth pick and we'd like Shaq Leonard, and then we want your two, and give us next year's one. And you can have it. And then there's heaven and earth. How about the fact that the Lions are picking sixth because they have the Rams pick? When they made that trade, now, if you're the Rams, you don't give a shit. You won the Super Bowl. Hey, you traded for Matthew Stafford, and you won the Super Bowl. You don't care. But everybody's kind of laughing at it. They're like, why would they take – so here was the thing the Lions got all this shit for. They took Jared Goff and that ridiculous contract to his. And then they're like, and why do you want first-round picks from the Rams? They're one of the best teams in the NFL.
They're great.
Jared Goff turns out to be a competent quarterback for them, to the point where they're not going to pick a quarterback in the first round this year.
No.
And they end up with the sixth pick. And their own pick is 15th or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they could be a problem, the Lions.
Well, at the end of the day, the Lions are still the Lions.
That is true.
They will Lions it up.
But they're not quite the lovable Lions.
We're giddy about the Lions this week because they kept the Packers out of the playoffs. It's great.
Yeah.
But they still have won one playoff game since 1960. So.
Well, they're due.
They are due. And then the Seahawks pick fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of deal. They make that trade. It's like, you trade Russell Wilson to the Broncos. Broncos are going to win 15 games this year. What's that pick going to be?
Well, right.
No, they won five.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks are in the playoffs, and they're picking fifth. That's a team that should probably draft a quarterback. I know Geno Smith set the franchise record for passing, but he's old, and he's Geno Smith. So maybe they ought to call the Bears. And then there's the Raiders sitting there at seven. And everybody's dream is that they trade
the quarterback? Oh, Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams and the seventh pick to the Bears for the first thing, get a quarterback.
Yeah.
They're not trading Devontae Adams. Much as I would love it if they would. They are getting rid of Derek Carr. They basically asked Devontae, are you cool with playing without your old college buddy? And he was like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
So everybody's like, oh, well, I guess. It's like, I can't really play. I live in Vegas, guys. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Right. He's like, I used to be in Green Bay. It's a lot better here.
Right. It was a bonus to play with Derek Carr. It wasn't the reason that he went.
Yeah.
So he's
like, have you guys been to Vegas?
He's not going to be forcing his way out. Now, one good thing about the Raiders, though, I don't know, maybe now they're in Vegas, this shouldn't be as big a problem. When they were in Oakland, they were always running out of money. I mean, that's how the Bears got Khalil Mack. They couldn't afford to pay his bonus. I don't think they have those same problems now.
They're not going to have those same problems now. Yeah.
I mean, Mark Davis is still eating at P.F. Chang's every day and driving a minivan. And getting his hair cut at the Barber College for $1.
Yeah.
So he's got money now. So I think he still wears his dad's old white tracksuits. He's not even spending any money on clothes. So there's the Falcons at 8. You think they're settled on Desmond Ridder, their third rounder from last year? Probably not. So they might be in there. They're in the quarterback business. So there's a Ryan Poles, Ryan Pace chat. What do you want for the number one pick? What do you got?
Mm-hmm.
Take it all.
So does Ryan Pace call Ryan Poles and say, what can I give you for Justin Fields?
Maybe that's the trade. I don't think that's going to be the trade.
Not yet, but you wonder if it's a conversation.
The Carolina Panthers at 9. You got Sam Darnold now. He's probably looking for a quarterback. I don't think the Eagles are. Eagles have the 10th pick.
It is amazing how many bad quarterbacks are in the NFL.
Best record in the NFL, or did they end up with? At least the NFC.
Eagles?
Yeah. And the 10th pick, thanks to the Saints. There's the Titans at 11. We know they don't need a quarterback because they have Josh Dobbs now.
There's that.
signed off a practice squad 2 weeks ago, starting a game to try to get them into the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, of course, Malik Willis out of Liberty, who they tried to play this year, and he went, shit, this is not the Colonial Athletic Association or whatever Liberty plays. The Jets at 13. Always looking for a quarterback. I don't think the Patriots are. They've got Bailey Zappe and they've got Mac Jones. They're set. And then you get down to the Packers, and even if they did need a quarterback, you're too far down. We're not scooting this far down.
Right.
The Jared Goff trade, the first one, the one where the Rams moved up to get him. That was with the Titans, and the Titans did move back to 15, but they got a crap load of picks because of that, because they had to move down so far. And when one of the guys they got with those picks is Derrick Henry, so that seemed to work out for the Titans.
It worked out pretty good, yeah.
But I don't see the Bears moving down that far. They can't afford. To me, the trade to be made here is either you sucker the Texans into panicking and giving you their 12 with the two. Because that would be great.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
You're picking exactly who you're going to pick at one, and you're getting an extra pick for it.
Right. A high pick, a 12th pick, yeah.
Or the Colts. You're only moving down to four, where you're getting one of the, assuming you're going to draft Will Anderson or, why can't I think of Carter's first name? Jarrell, is that his name?
Or the third one is, which I don't, again, we don't think they should do this. I don't think it could be ruled out, but you mentioned it, the Falcons. That might be the move if they're gonna move Fields and draft a quarterback.
He's from Atlanta.
Maybe they do that.
Send him home.
And
it'll be great. You can start over and have to develop a rookie quarterback, because basically he was a rookie quarterback this year, given that he learned everything he knew from Matt Nagy, and he can do that all over again. That'd be fun. I think Matt Eberflus would throw himself off a bridge if you told him he had to do that. Because think about it, if you're the Flus, right? You put up with your general manager consistently taking. He took three All Pros off your defense.
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, Big Play Bob, my favorite, and Roquan Smith. And it was with the idea that we're going to start with next. This is the only year we're doing this shit. Next year we are full speed ahead. We may not be a playoff team next year, but you're going to have talent. You're going to have players to work with. And I wouldn't want to be in the room where he walks in and says, "We're starting over quarterback again." I don't think he wants to have that conversation.
I guess it depends on what kind of. I hear what you're saying. I guess it depends on what kind of footing Flus thinks he's on. I mean, he's fine for.
He knows he's on good footing. He does not want to go. He doesn't want to do that again. You don't want to do that for two seasons. This wasn't a typical. Okay, we're gonna. The impact players are free. We don't really have any money to spend this year, and they didn't. They had, they could spend around the edges, and we don't have very many draft picks because the previous regime fucked us. But we're gonna do the best we can. They would have kept Roquan, and they would have kept trying to sign him, and he signed today with the Ravens, and he was. Mm-hmm. There's some Bear fans that are mad, and it's like he was never. They tried. They had that conversation 1,000 times. If it was going to happen, it was going to happen. And the Ravens are paying him $20 million a year. Good luck with that. Jack Sanborn's better. I think we objectively can say that. I mean, the Bears upgraded immediately when they got rid of Roquan.
Right.
And they're paying him like $8 a week. It's great. A typical NFL rebuild, the Bears would have probably... And part of this, though, it kind of went perfectly for the Bears, right? Because... They're a 3-14 team, but they're like 5 plays away from, this is not even really an exaggeration, from like 7 wins. Mm-hmm. And just being stuck in that limbo of, hey, that's great. You guys played hard and you won seven games, but you suck. And now we're picking 17th. Thanks a lot.
Right.
I think everyone owes Cairo Santos an apology. I mean, the intentionally shanked extra point against the Lions.
Yeah, see?
That came in big. You got the number one pick, and that's the guy you should be thanking. Velus Jones leaving the ball, just laying there inside the 5-yard line for the Commanders when they had no way of scoring otherwise. Velus gets a bonus for that.
Right.
But in a typical year, they would have tried to have won games, and it would have been a rough season, but, you know, your coach would not have stood there and watched his team lose 10 games in a row. A franchise-long winning losing streak.
Yeah.
And then walked in and said, that was fun. Probably going to have to do this again next year. I don't think that was the plan. Now, I could see it. Had the season progressed offensively the way it did before the Patriot game, then I think we're legitimately having this conversation about what are they going to do at quarterback. But they changed the offense. They got, because they weren't getting any explosive plays. They weren't. They couldn't protect the quarterback long enough to throw the ball down the field. And they basically said, all right, fuck it. We're going to have to just let him run. And they did.
Right.
And what you end up with is a guy who can run like Lamar Jackson, but can actually throw. And So I know your fear. I don't share it at all. Go out, buy all the Justin Fields memorabilia you want. You can plaster it all over the walls. You're safe.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. It'll be interesting offseason.
For wildcard round action, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is the place to go. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat bet each day of the wildcard round this weekend. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code POINTLESS. New customers can bet $5 on the NFL and get $200 in free bets instantly. That's code POINTLESS, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario and Ohio. Bonus issued as free bets. One free bet issued based on the amount of initial losing NFL bet up to $10. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY as 467-369. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
You know, especially, it'll be very interesting, too, just from a, you know, when was the last time the Bears had the number one overall pick?
1947.
1947.
Yeah. They've had it twice. The first time they had it, they took Mark Harmon's dad, Tom Harmon.
Nice.
And the second time they took some guy from Oklahoma State, who I've already forgotten, and he was bad. And they haven't had
so Twitter was not a big thing, and social media was not a big thing in 1947.
Right? No.
It's going to be interesting just to navigate that landscape and then see what that's like. Now you've got the number one pick, and after the Super Bowl, there's nothing else to talk about football wise except for the draft.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to hear every kind of rumor.
Everything, yeah. You're
going to
hear all kinds of things.
I do not think that Ryan Poles does not strike me as the guy who gives a shit about what the rumors are.
I just don't know if but we'll see. I just don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I just don't think it's an absolute given that they're going to stick with Fields.
I do. We'll see. I think it's an absolute given.
Okay.
They're going to stick with Justin Fields.
I hope you're right. But it'll be interesting. I think there will be some tense moments over the next few months, if nothing else.
Well, at least in your house, there'll be tense moments.
Yeah.
There won't be. I'm not going to be worried about it at all. So we look around this exciting Bears roster. It's easier to pick the things they don't need than the things they need.
That's true.
What they don't need is they don't need a specialist. They have their punter. They have their kicker. Cairo, $750,000 bonus.
See?
For
there
not
you
missing
go.
A kick. And actually, he made two, but only one counted because the Vikings went offsides and Flus went for two.
Yep.
He was trying to win that game. He argued. He couldn't even go into the locker room at halftime because he was
right.
arguing about the field goal, and he was right.
Yeah. There's no question they were trending. They should. He should be trying to win that game.
Now, here's a problem I have. The NFL is what? Like a $100 billion entity? Some ridiculous amount. Why can't they design parkas for the head coaches that they can zip? Do you notice that all the head coaches have to leave the parka unzipped? And it's because they can't reach the stupid thing on there. If they zip up the parka, it covers up the thing on their belt where they have to switch the headset. So they all have to look like morons out in the freezing cold with their coat completely open. They got like an extra sweatshirt on because it's open. Why can't they just Nike, right? They have a contract. Nike can't just make a little notch over here. You zip it up and you can just reach down and there you go. You can just hit the thing.
Here's the answer. They had that design figured out, but FTX was going to be the sponsor of the parkas. So then when that blew up, that all went away. They were this close.
But it was very, because, you know, so he's late getting to the locker room. He had to sprint to the locker room. And there it is. Parka wide open, flapping in the breeze while he's running in.
Not a big point, but how is it a legal play when there are two footballs on the field?
Yeah.
How is that?
No, everything
seems
wrong
with
that. The Vikings weren't set for a second. There was the refs were cold. They wanted to go in, and then all of a sudden there's Eberflus standing on the field yelling at him. They're like, fine, just tell him he's fucking right. We'll take the field goal up. Vikings didn't even stick around to find out. They didn't give a shit. They found out in the locker room.
That
whole coaching staff
was
like, what? It's what? 16-19? Fine. We don't care. We're going to kick their ass anyway.
Yeah, no shit. Like, you know, there are two football fields. Yeah, but the teams are in the locker room already. Screw it. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, because Jonathan Vilma, who's really so good, so glad Bears got him the last 2 weeks, seemed very concerned that they didn't actually kick a K-ball.
Yeah.
They didn't kick one of the kicking balls. But they did, because that's why the second ball was on the field. Because they were
on the field, right.
Yeah.
But I don't remember ever seeing two footballs on the field in a play that counted.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that. You think that would have been? I think they would have at least blown it dead for that, and then
or something would have mentioned something like, I guess they're just gonna screw it. Say screw it because the team's in the locker room.
One thing I thought the game didn't have enough of was nobody shoved any of the
trainers. That's unfair.
They got shoved free. They just got to run around on the field willy nilly, trying to help players. Nobody gave them a shove, and then another guy walked by with a passive aggressive chest bump.
You can't have these guys too comfortable out there. They got to know they're going to get popped, blindsided.
Yeah. How about the fact that Quay Walker is his name, right? Quay? Got thrown out of two games this year. He got thrown out of the game on Sunday night while the Packers are fighting for their playoff lives for no reason, just shoving an athletic trainer from the Lions.
Yeah.
And he got thrown out of the Bills game for shoving one of the Bills practice squad players on the sidelines for nothing. They were like, he got kicked out for shoving two people in street clothes.
What? Oh, yeah. What is this guy's problem?
That's a fun bunch up there.
Yeah.
The Great White North.
Very classy. See, stay classy, Green Bay. Terrific.
So the Bears have a kicker and they have a punter. The great Trenton Gill. I like the stat they kept showing off that it was the Texans punter, right? Broke the NFL record for average yards per punt.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because he punts for the Texans. He's punting from the 10-yard line every time. He never has. He can air it out on every kick. It's not like he's kicking from the, you know, he's not kicking from the 45 trying to just, you know.
Yeah, he's not pinning. He's not
one
pinning
inside
guys.
The 10.
Yeah.
He's just pinning his ears and kicking it as far as he can. That's not, he broke Sammy Baugh's record.
Sammy Baugh.
Really? Do they need a backup quarterback? Are we cool with bringing back Trevor Siemian for year two, hoping that he doesn't have to play and then he can't hurt his ribs or his oblique or whatever?
Are you off? You're off the Nathan or the Peterman train?
Well, I mean, Peterman was apparently good enough that they felt that in order to lose that game, they needed to give Tim Boyle some run.
Yeah.
You know what? We're gonna rotate Boyle in for a couple of series.
Yeah.
Tim, you know what to do. Sure do, Coach. Here you go, Vikings. Have it. Catch this. His interception, though, wasn't any worse than the one Aaron Rodgers threw to end the Packers season. It was basically the same pass.
It was the same pass,
just completely overthrow your guy, and there's nobody back there except for a defender. That was great.
Yeah, that's perfect.
On the offensive line, you need a center.
You need a center. That's for damn sure.
You certainly need You probably should get two more. You probably should find both tackles.
You need linemen on your offensive line.
You may
you need
have
a lot of,
you may you have your missing? Guards between Cody Whitehair, Lucas Patrick, and Tevin.
Jenkins.
You may have your guards. Yeah. And Larry, you got Larry Borum to put there, too. But and it's unfortunate the tackles are what cost the money, and that's what they're going to need. But
right.
They need two of those.
Yes, they do. Two of those in a center. Okay. Three out of five. Great.
So you have – you probably have – well, you kept Equanimeous. You got Equanimeous for another year. But he's really just there to block. Best blocking wide receiver. Graded out the highest rated blocking wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, you're set with that. You got Cole Kmet. He's your championship guy, so he's good.
Yep. He's your one blue chipper.
I don't need that. He's one blue chipper.
So you got Cole, but you probably should use – you probably need another tight end. So you got to go find one. I don't think Ryan Griffin is lighting the world on fire for anybody.
Probably not. Probably
wide receiver, you have Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool and Equanimeous. And that's about it. And so you need a number one. You have a two. You have two twos.
Two twos
and a six, basically, with those three guys.
Yeah.
So you need a one and a four.
You need yes, you do.
That's another reason why the Bears, why Poles shouldn't go completely crazy splashing the cash.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason the Eagles got A.J. Brown was that they had cap room. And the Titans are like, you know what? We're gonna draft Treylon Burks. And we'll get rid of A.J. And the Eagles are like, we'll take him, please.
Yeah.
And completely transform their offense with that dude. So you need to save a little cash for when one of these wide receiver divas pisses off their team so much that they're like, we want to get rid of him. And you're like, you know what? We could probably tolerate him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like we talked about earlier, there's not enough good players to sign anyway, so they're not going to blow.
Yeah. The big reason they traded for Claypool is the free agent wide receivers are not good.
Right, it's bad.
So you're not going to. I'm sure you certainly can upgrade over Dante Pettis and N'Keal Harry and Simba.
Right.
But you're not filling your number one spot with somebody from free agency.
Right. For sure.
I still think the play is to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and just
He's
wait.
Awesome. Yeah, like they used to do.
Just like Larry Bird. You just take him and you sit around for a year.
Red hour back. Yep. Yeah.
And Marvin opts out and doesn't play a single game for Ohio State so he doesn't get hurt, and then he shows up and plays for you.
That would be awesome.
You really should be able to do that. I don't know why you can't.
You really should.
So that's all they need on offense. That's not that much.
No.
Like two-thirds. They just need to find two-thirds of an offense. Oh, I did talk about running backs.
All right.
You got Khalil Herbert. You may have, depending on if he takes your deal or not, you may have David Montgomery. I don't think they're too worried.
Right.
They'll just go find another David Montgomery if they can't have that David Montgomery. And then on defense.
I think the offense is bad. Wait till you hear about the defense.
You need a defensive line and a linebacking core, except for Jack Sanborn.
You can build around Jack.
You got Jack.
You build around Jack.
So you got Jack. And somebody was breaking down the defensive lineman and basically said, Justin Jones is pretty good as a backup. It's like, okay, we don't have a starting defensive lineman on the team, so we got to find that. So we need three of those, and then we need probably three linebackers to go with Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And but you don't really need to add that much to the secondary. Probably you need to find another corner.
Secondary's okay, yeah.
See, so, you know, that's a lot.
Because
all it means is that you basically, in order to have to turn this from a terrible team to a good team next year, is you have to bat like 800 on these moves.
That's all you have to do. Right. The first time GM,
we get almost
all
of them right, then we might be able, and we might be in the hunt on week 15.
Yeah. With a first time GM and a first time head coach. You know, that's something we talked about too. You know, Ryan Poles, there's no one, unfortunately, to mention Ryan to mentor Ryan Poles in that building. Now, I'm sure he'll be able to talk to some of those guys at Kansas City or whatever, but, you know, Theo mentored Jed for 20 years. And
well,
Jed
look, how
still
that's,
does,
look how that's
and Jed. And Jed still does stuff that bothers him. You know, this is tough waters for anybody to navigate.
Yeah. I would hope he got his mentoring when he was in Kansas City. And at some point, you got to be the guy. They give you the job, and you got to do it.
He's no question about it. But it would be nice if there was some, you know, wise old somebody to kind of.
Theo learned under crazy, what's his name out in San Diego? Why can't I think? It's CM. This hair.
Yeah.
Making all those drinks, big barrel chested, whatever. And then he went to Boston, and he was nothing like Kevin Towers, and he was the anti Kevin Towers in every way.
Right.
The only thing that worries me about it is he just doesn't have a track record. I'm not worried that he's incompetent, but
no.
Yeah, I mean he's put in a spot now. It's like he has the dream setup for a GM right now.
True.
But the problem is
blank canvas and a lot of money.
You're also, if that shit doesn't work, everybody's like, oh, you fucked that up.
Yeah, because the honeymoon's over. I mean, you know, this first year, everybody's willing to give them. Both of them.
Yeah, that was one of the questions of the press conference was, you know, you guys didn't have any pressure on you this year. I mean, what's it going to be like next year when you have pressure on you? And I would answer the questions like, well, yeah, we still had pressure. Like, we may have been shopping at the discount rack. But every player we could find this year is one less that we needed next year. Like, if we could unearth a few guys, that would help quite a bit. It's not like we were just like, who cares? Come on in. You want to wear a Bear uniform and run around? Huh? It's always been your dream.
Yeah, but you know, it's kind of like David Ross with the Cubs with the 39-31 second half. It's like, nobody's questioning your moves. Nobody's caring then. Now the pressure for him, too. And for Jed, that all ratchets up next year. But, you know, the town clearly was willing to say, all right, we get it. This year, you guys do what you got to do.
Well, but it's funny. But there's still a lot of weird media idiots who couldn't understand. Like, did you see David Haugh? His little tantrum about no one should be celebrating them getting the number one pick as so-called football town. You should try to win every week. It's like, you know, did you play? I know you played at Ball State. They had helmets then, right? Did you just decide not to wear yours?
What was the word he used? It was something like off-put or something, or upset. So he used some silly word.
It's like, boo-hoo-hoo. We all knew what the deal was. We've been trying to get them to do this forever.
And it's...
Haugh way forever, and it never fucking worked.
Right. And somehow, through sheer lack of talent and a lot of crazy luck on the last day, they actually ended up with the number one pick. That was not the most likely scenario going into that final weekend by a long shot. And they did. So that's great.
Yeah, I at no point was worried they were going to pick fourth, because that would require them winning. I knew that
was. Yeah, that wasn't at the cards.
I mean, Poles would have run out and stole the football at some point in the second half if they were ahead.
Well, Poles claimed he wasn't even watching the Texans game.
And John Greenberg had the same thing I did. I don't believe you.
Yeah, was that Greenberg who said that? Yep. Somebody was like, I'm not sure any of us believe that, but okay.
That's right.
Was that Greenberg?
No. Now, he may not have been standing in front of a TV, but he certainly was looking at his phone. Doing that.
I would imagine.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
And he said it didn't matter if they picked first or second. It mattered a lot.
Okay. It matters a lot.
There's a big difference in this draft between one and two. One is where you needed to get to, and they got there. So, kudos.
Especially if your plan is to trade down. One matters a lot.
So we got a lot of time now to... You can get your mock. You probably should work on a mock draft every day now. Between now and then, get your big board ready.
Sure. Yeah.
Start ranking people. Now is the time. Chicago Sports Radio doesn't interest me.
No, I mean God.
But now is when you get the calls about. I haven't broken down all the film yet, but the callers calling in saying stuff like that.
Yes.
I haven't watched all the film yet on this guy, but what do you think about what? Why are
you know, Bob.
Would you have a real job? Maybe we'll do that instead of whatever.
Instead of breaking down the film, which let me let you in on a little secret. You're not qualified to do.
Now, the Bears are likely to lose their assistant general manager, Ian Cunningham. He's a hot commodity around the NFL.
When you are an AGM of a 3-14 team, you're
what
the
if,
world's your right.
How about this? One of the teams that may be interested in him, they haven't decided yet whether they're going to fire their general manager, is the Houston Texans. Now, what if the Houston Texans fire Nick Caserio and they hire Ian Cunningham? And that becomes, so what parallel to this is there in Chicago sports?
I was just going to say, you know, the Houston Astros might need a guy too. So maybe he's got both Houston teams.
Who was the, so this happened before they got there and then they got to reunite. So Jed Hoyer takes the job in San Diego. Theo's still in Boston. Theo gets the mandate that from Nesson that they need a they need more stars on their team
because
ratings
right,
were
right.
down.
Right.
So they work up a trade between the Padres and the Red Sox, and to get the stroke I had today is really. What's his name? First baseman. I can't think of his name. He ended up playing against the Cubs for the Dodgers in the playoffs. Not Eric Karros. We're not going back that far. Jesus, this is bad.
See, you need Donahue. He would know this shit.
Well, anybody,
you
the wrong should know, there. Anybody should know this. It's a. He played for the Marlins, then he played for the Padres. First baseman, Dodgers. Adrian Gonzalez. I was stuck on the thing. So they trade, amongst others, Anthony Rizzo to the Padres to get Adrian Gonzalez. Then when Jed and Theo are reunited in Chicago, their first call is to Jed's old buddies with the Padres. Like, you know what? We're going to need a first baseman.
Yeah.
And they get our beloved Anthony Rizzo.
Right. But they did give up a lot for him. They gave up, he turned out to suck. But the pitcher, I can't remember his name right now, who they gave up for Rizzo. It's not like they did him any big favors.
Oh, he was one of the big C's, Andrew Cashner. Remember
yeah,
those?
Oh, that's,
Tyler
that's
Colvin, Starlin Castro, and Andrew Cashner. That's who the Cubs were building around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they gave up a guy that the Theo had come in and immediately looked at and said, that's a bullpen arm. He's not a starter.
Yeah.
So he's not worth that much to us. So let's get rid of him.
Right.
But there you go. You just that took a roundabout way, but Jed was in the middle of all that. We need Ian Cunningham to be the to be our Jed Hoyer.
Yeah, go between.
We need to go off to Houston and send us the second and 12th pick and some other stuff for no to jumpstart the Bears rebuild.
Yeah,
Texans will get their quarterback, and God love them. I do think if I were in the quarterback market,
yeah,
I would take C.J. Stroud. I wouldn't take
you would
Bryce Young.
Yeah. Bryce Young, really?
I can't get over the he's really good. He's really good, but man, he is skinny as a. I don't like it.
Yeah, but he's like you know
he's listed at, he's listed at 6'1", 90, which means he's at best 5'10", and he's at best 180 pounds. And he's a real
probably,
man running around throwing people into the ground.
Yeah, he's probably like Drew Brees' height and weight, though. Pretty similar.
Yeah, but he wasn't a tennis champion, right? Wasn't that always the reason we got for why Drew could just bounce around back there? And
I don't know. I think Young is going to be the number one guy taken, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Because everybody raves about how he's NFL ready and all this sort of stuff.
He's good. Stroud's good, too, though. I really like the... It was night and day when you saw Max Duggan.
Yeah, and Stetson.
So one of the things, I watched the both the semifinal games and the championship game, I watched the Skycam, ESPN Skycam.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It was really good for the semifinal games because you didn't get any announcers at all. It was just
cool.
The Nat sound. And then I have two TVs down here. So the big TV had Skycam and 4K, and then the little TV. You know, had the broadcast so that I had them set up so that the broadcast was run about 5 seconds behind, so I could see the play on Skycam. Then I could look over and watch the way that they showed it, whatever.
Nice.
And Georgia was all over Stroud every bit as much as they were all over Duggan, but he was really good at being able to just kind of like, you know. He by himself just a little more time, and he knew where to throw, make throws. And then it was jarring to watch Duggan go up against him and not be able to do any of it. And you're like, oof. You know what? I know there's a pretty big gap between those two, and there should be, because Max Duggan didn't even start the year at TCU. He got beat out for the quarterback job. Yeah. Right. And then the quarterback got hurt in the first game, and he got his job back.
Yeah.
But that was impressive, especially after the fact, when you watch the Georgia score 1,000 points against
Oof, man, TCU. That was brutal. Wow, that was a beatdown.
But the good thing is, in my world, Bears don't need a quarterback. They're not even considering a quarterback.
That's the last thing on earth.
They got other tape to watch.
They would never do that.
You're gonna give like Billy the intern the quarterback tapes to watch. All right, watch that. Let us know what you think. The real men are gonna look at the positions we actually need. All right.
All right. Well, that wraps it up, I guess. A hell of a season. I think we each had them pick good when 6 wins and 7 wins. I think one of us had one and the other. I mean, we were looking dumb there when they got off to their hot start.
Well, you saw that Greg Gabriel trade.
That was
right?
Great. That was, yeah.
When they were they were 3-4.
Whatever it was. Right? 3-4.
3-4. And he's like, please pick them. We win 3 games. What are they going to lose? Of course, he couldn't do math. He was like, "Will they go 1-14 the rest of the year?" It's like, how many games do you think they're playing, Greg? They're only playing 10 more, and they're going to lose them all. Yeah, nobody thought that. I think it was Joniak. I was listening to some post-game yesterday, but I had to run out to get some. And he was detailing, like, how late the Bears were leading in games in the losing streak. Yeah. And it's like, here they had a 4-point lead with 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go. They had it, and you kept doing it over and over again. You're like, holy shit. Wow. They really were close to having an actual, like, serviceable record, and that would have not done us any good. Just shows, though, they're that close. That's the Hits principle. That's the Hits principle, right?
Clearly. There's no F in Hits. There's no finish.
One of the things that came out that when the writers were chatting, you know, they're on all their little wrap up things.
Yeah.
And I do think you were going to accuse me of saying nice things about, you know, the equivalent of saying nice things about David Ross and the Cubs playing hard. But if you're on a football team, you lose 10 games in a row. You should have a lot of problems on a team that loses 10 games in a row.
Oh yeah, that's like losing 60 games in a row in baseball.
And you know,
or more.
And we've seen Bear teams that were not nearly as, you know, that didn't face that kind of crap, that just melted down. And, of course, it helped to not have Brandon Marshall on this team, so you didn't have him screaming through the locker room all the time.
Yeah.
It also helps, obviously, to have a bunch of guys just hanging on for their careers.
That helps.
They're not going to rock.
Young guys.
A lot of boats aren't going to get rocked when you're just hoping to stick around for another week because you need another paycheck.
Right.
Exactly. But I do think there was something to it, because you saw NFL teams this year just not give a shit in some games. Just like, fuck this. And the Bears never did that. So the 6 guys that are left after the season, they will have that to hang their hat on next year. They'll be like, oh, remember how last year we lost those 10 in a row? No. Oh, that's right. None of you guys were here. Well, we did. We lost 10 in a row. It was terrible. But we stuck together, and then all of us got cut.
Yeah.
That's what we should. Someday we'll take a look back at the roster from week 18 and then compare it to the roster week 1 next year and see how many names are the same.
Or we compare it to the Bears' next Bears Super Bowl team, and it's just Cole.
Right.
Cole Kmet,
the
only name
he needs. He played some quarterbacks.
So you're not real quick. Before I write, you're not swayed by the Bear. You see the video the redesigned Soldier, reimagined Soldier Field that came out a couple days ago. Talk about coming out 20. They should have started that process 20 years ago. But now they're like, oh yeah, this.
I will say, I've seen a lot of those architectural renderings of buildings over my real job and just other stuff. That's one of the best ones
the video
I've ever seen.
Cool.
That was amazing.
Oh, no,
I would have bought. I would buy that if I had $100. Yes. What is it? Four. If I had $4 billion, I would pay for that. I'd be like, yes, I want that. The fact that the city is still pissing away money, paying architects to make these videos,
That's the crazy part. This is not like, going to happen, guys.
As someone going pointed out, the city still owes $800 million on Soldier Field. Where are they going to get money to put another $1 billion into it to turn it into that dome?
Oh. And by the way, and also get the Metra and the CTA and all of that.
They're going to get a federal grant for that, probably. Yeah, that was really cool. I watched it like three times. I'm like, oh, this is really nice.
Oh, it was a great video.
And it's I just imagine the Bears sitting around looking at it like, the fuck is this? Do we own? Are they going to let us have it? Because we're going to own the one in Arlington. So you're just going to give us the stadium? Yeah. We'll take it. That'd be great. But you're right. Yeah. That was the kind of vision that had they had it for the remodel. It would obviously wouldn't have been that because that was 20 years ago. But that was the kind of thinking they needed 20 years ago, which was how do we turn this into an all-purpose facility? And they didn't do it. They basically started the clock on themselves the minute they didn't put a roof on it. Like at some point, the Bears are going to say, "All right, we're going to go build our own, and we're going to see." That was the old Mayor Daley who was like the. And he was living in a world where the McCaskies didn't have any money. Mm. Right, they were just starting to get money. The TV deals were just starting to like trickle in with an extra zero on them. And the McCaskies were feeling like, ooh. The Bears couldn't build their own stadium. They just literally couldn't do it. They didn't have the money. They couldn't do it. Right. They would have had to sell part of the team to do it. So he lived in a year where he's like, he had all the leverage. And then he would do the whole, well, if you leave, we'll just get an AFC team. It's like, well, no, you won't, because the Bears can basically say, no, they can't have an AFC team. Yeah. He made all the threats, and the Bears caved. Ted was in charge of that. And he's like, oh, you know, this is great. But they live in a world now where that's not the case, where the Bears are, the minute that they bought, I don't know if it's even gone through yet, but they're getting the land in Arlington Heights. That's a license to print money up there. They're giving that up. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to sound skeptical, but it seems to me like maybe the video was a Lori Lightfoot campaign stunt.
How could you?
I need some proof. I'm working real hard to keep the Bears.
How do you get Bill Curtis?
They spared no expense.
No expense.
Bill Curtis and. I mean, I would love, honestly, if I were the Bears, I'd be like, ooh, let's build this in Arlington Heights.
Yeah, sure.
And there were things on it that they literally can't do. So one of the things, and I remember this from the original Soldier Field redesign, had the columns were incorporated inside. They were kind of indoor-outdoor columns. And the Hysterical Society said, you can't do that. I think what they were going to do is they were going to make them bigger. Because it looked ridiculous. You're building this huge stadium around, like old Soldier Field, we thought the columns were huge. You walk through those, you're like, oh my God, these are enormous. New Soldier Field is like, wait, it looks like, Stonehenge and Spinal Tap.
Right.
You know, you walk out, it's like, he's carrying it around in his hands. And they were basically told, no, you can't mess with those. You got to leave those. That's a federal monument for the longest time, it was the only monument to the soldiers of World War One. You couldn't mess with it.
Right. That's why we got the wacky current design.
Yes, and now you ended up with the spaceship crashed into the lakefront because they when they redid it, that's what they came up with. So I'm watching it like, you can't even do that.
Yeah. Like, they actually thought of that. They were told you can't do that. So why, you know, that.
But I take it. The roof was really cool, too. It was like completely see-through. Oh, yeah. It was like being outside, except you were indoors.
Right. By the way, are the Bears going to play in South Bend for the next 10 years while that thing is being built?
Well, that was the thing. So timing-wise, if Northwestern's going to build their swanky stadium on the lakefront. Mm-hmm. But that's years away. You would basically have, if you're the Bears, you'd have to wait. You have to wait for Northwestern to finish their stadium so you could play there. Because this is 2 years. This isn't 1 year. The stuff they're doing to this... This isn't one season in Champaign.
No, this is
2 years somewhere else.
Oh, please.
So yeah, you'd end up in South Bend, and they're not going to do that. So none of it was ever going to get seriously considered. Other than I'm sure the Bears themselves looked at it just the way we did, which was like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is never going to happen, but this is pretty cool.
Exactly. Right.
So there are there's rumors that it's a done deal. Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren is going to be the president of the Bears.
We've been hearing that for a while. Yep.
Then he, Jerko said that it's going to be announced by the end of the week. So we got a few days left. Of note, he was in Minnesota when they built U.S. Bank Stadium. Which, honestly, if you're going to completely rip off a stadium to build in Arlington Heights, that'd be a pretty good one to build in Arlington
Heights. That one and SoFi are the two that you want to look at, I think,
I think the snow load at U.S. Bank is probably more comparable than the one that can handle it, SoFi.
Probably.
But so that'll be interesting to have. What'll be interesting there will be if they restructure and Poles reports to Warren, because right now Poles does not report to the president; he reports to the chairman.
Or does Poles get a president title? He should have gotten to begin with. We've had that discussion a long time.
I'm going to say he doesn't, because they're going to Kevin Warren's check is going to be so big that they're not going to want to cut another one for Ryan. When he wins the Super Bowl next year, then they can talk.
Then they'll talk. Okay, fair.
Oh yeah, and we talked about it a little bit, but I tried to think. Sunday's win. I think it's. I joke that it was a top three Lovie Smith win for the Bears.
Yeah.
I think it's 7 or 8.
I thought it was a top 10, certainly. Yeah.
I mean, you got to put he only won 3 playoff games. They should all go ahead of that.
Yeah.
Especially, and one of them was an NFC championship. So, pretty good. Or did he win 4? He might have won 4 playoff games. 1, 2, 3, 4. Not a lot. And then at least a couple of the Packer wins I'd slide in there just because. But that's pretty high. It's pretty high up there.
For sure.
What it's the
what it could mean
it can have on the franchise.
Right.
There were fans calling in like, the Bears should make Lovie the defensive coordinator next year. I'm sure that's exactly what Lovie wants. He wants to come back to the Bears as the defensive coordinator. And it's like he runs the same defense that Matt Eberflus does. Yeah, they're exactly the same. I'm sure when Matt famously went to the Rams camp to study the defense, it hasn't changed at all in any of those years. It's exactly the same one that Lovie runs.
Right. Well, Lovie never had a hits principle, damn it.
He didn't. And the other thing, maybe we can wrap up with this, because it's another old friend. So there's the rumor that Sean Payton, he hires Sean, you're getting Vic Fangio. It's a done deal. He was the defensive coordinator. But one of the teams that is going to interview Sean Payton is the Broncos.
Yep.
Can you imagine, Vic?
It's a little awkward.
It's like, Sean, you're in my office. I'm not. Oh, that's right. That used to be my office. It's not it anymore.
What about the Bears hire Sean Payton and Vic Fangio? How about that? Just kick it out of the can.
That's the equivalent of who did that? When they got the number one pick, they immediately fired their coach. Because that's what the Bears should have done when they got Fields. They should have immediately fired Nagy.
Right.
And we talked about it. Somebody did that.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you did a nice job, but we need a real coach now. I can't think of who that was. That would be funny. The problem with that is you're probably going to have to – the team that gets – Peyton's going to have to give the Saints a 1. And the only one the Bears have is 1 overall, and you're not doing that. Even if you thought that the upgrade from the Flus to him was so high. Plus, he was a scab. He was a spare bear. You really want to bring
him
back to coach the Bears? Nah.
Right. Good point.
And he's got the weird facelift. I still can't get over that. I don't know what year that happened, but all of a sudden Sean Payton's face was a lot tighter than it used to be. It doesn't look it's like that's why. Well, here's what's going to happen with Sean Payton. The Cowboys are not going to the NFC Championship game. They'll lose one of the first 2 weeks, and Sean Payton will be the next coach of the Cowboys.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Jerry has wanted to hire him forever, and they can compare bad facelifts.
See, there you go. It's a 2-for-1 deal.
Maybe he's the same guy.
Right.
All right.
Nice.
Well, I assume you are. I'll see you this weekend. You're flying in for the Cub Convention.
Oh yeah, I can hardly wait. I've got my all my sweatpants lined up to wear.
All right. We're good. We're going to be podcasting live from the Cub Convention. You and me and Ryan Dempster and Ian Happ. It's going to be great.
Oh,
we're doing 6 hours on Saturday, so rest up. And they're going to simulcast us on Marquee.
Bring your coffee. Yep. We know what kind of coffee you're going to bring, too.
Yeah, whatever that shit is. Ian.
Whatever that is, yeah.
Hair plug roasters or whatever it's called. All right.
Yep.
Well, thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Many of us have herpes.
I just want this to be over.